This is ESPN New York Tonight. Here's Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer.
Monday night edition of the show. We'll talk about the Knicks. We'll talk about the Nets. And I'm upset at the Mets. I'll tell you why. Next. And 1-800-919-3776. Also via Twitter at Hardesty ESPN, at Gordon Damer, at ESPN NY98_7FM. Along with Brian the Good Vibes and Mike. We're here until midnight. Then it's Freddie Fitzsimmons on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Gordon.
Larry, what's going on, buddy? It feels like a long time that since we've done a show together.
I know.
It only was Thursday, but so much stuff has happened since then that It feels like a real long time.
Now, normally, Gordon, and of course, we also have an update on our brackets.
Yes.
As they just move right along. They just keep moving along.
Right. Well, by tomorrow, we'll have the final four there. By the end of the week, we will have, I'm not sure when we'll have exactly the final four. I think it'll probably be extending into next week because of the 4 days a week, you know?
Yes.
We'll get it done. Don't worry about it.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Now, normally we normally start with Knicks who had a, we'll talk about them in a minute.
We would like to avoid talking about that.
We'll talk about them in a minute. But Gordon, here's my issue, and I'm a little upset at the Mets, and I'm really upset at Lindor. Okay.
Okay.
And here's why. Now, as everybody knows, the about an hour ago, reports came out that the Mets made an offer to Francisco Lindor, 10 years, $325 million. Okay. Anthony DeComo, who covers the Mets for MLB, says sources tell him the Lindor camp, get this, Gordon, wants $385 for $12 million.
Yeah.
$385 for $12 million.
Yep.
Gordon, he's 27. What is he going to look like? What is he going to be at 30? He won't have any range at 39.
Well, look, I mean, you knew when you got Lindor, the reason why he was available was that he wanted a new contract. And he made it pretty clear, even before he was let go by Cleveland, or not let go, but traded by Cleveland, even before it was coming to a head with Cleveland, that he wanted every last dollar. So the 10 year, I'm not surprised that the 10 years, $325 million, was turned down. To me, that's kind of the starting point that you should have been rather than the last and final. But to see, you know, 12 years, what was it, $385 million? I saw another thing, 12 years, $400 million. It's not all that surprising to me, and I'll be honest with you. To turn down the 10 years at $325 million, which is insane, right? Like any normal person. For a player like Francisco Lindor, who we all expect to have a big-time year, I think he's kind of smart to turn down 10 years and $325 million because he'll probably – there's not really much risk that he won't get 10 years, $325 million at the end of this year.
Well, once again, for the Mets, it's a starting point. And see, Gordon, if you're going to offer – this is why I'm upset at them. If you're going to offer 10 years, $325 million, you could offer that last week. You could offer that 2 weeks ago. So at least now you've got a conversation. You offer 10 years, $325 million after you have dinner with the owner? That's not the way to go. Gordon, you should have done that before. And then now we've got an idea. Okay, you want $385 million. All right, let's go $340 million. Let's go $345 million. You know, at least let's see where we're talking. You can't wait till the last minute at this point, Gordon, and turn around. You know you've got a drop dead date here. All right, so you can't come out and say, all right, well, let's give him the minimum and see what happens. I mean, you know, we're just talking. No, you're not just talking. You do that, as I said, weeks ago, not 2 days before the deadline.
Yeah, and look, it was possible that nothing got done before the start of the regular season, and it just was, you know, it just was not to be because it does seem like Lindor wants to get every single penny. But for it to get out there that the Mets' final best and final was 10 at $325 million makes me think they completely misread this situation. I think anybody could have told you 10 at $325 million was probably not going to get it done. It was probably going to have to be a lot closer to what Mookie Betts got. You know what I mean? It was going to have to be in that range of $350 million, somewhere around there, if not more. So if they had made this off, you said, if they made this offer a month ago, and this was the dance of negotiation where you could kind of go back and forth, but now that it's out there that 10 at $325 million was their best and final, I think it's kind of a done deal that it's a dead issue, right? If best and final means 10 years, $325 million, and he says immediately no, Mm-hmm. How do the Mets go back now and say, oh, you know what, that wasn't our best and final. 10 years, you know, whatever. 350 is our best and final. You know, I don't see how you can do that.
And so now you're in the – and look, I get it. You're saying, well, there's other shortstops. The free agency, we'll get other shortstops if we can't get into a deal with him. And, of course, Gordon, we know what he said, Lindor said. We understand it's a drop-dead date. But come on, Gordon, his agent's not playing in, starting April 1st. So if they have a little conversation, his agent will answer his phone call, Gordon, a day or two, a couple of days into the season. I guarantee you he'll answer the phone call if they make a different offer by chance. But even if they don't, at this point now, Gordon, you're saying to yourself, if you're the Mets, but we knew we were going to have to pay when we brought him here. Yep. Like you said, we knew
that
going
that
into this.
Why
would you wait this late to give any offer unless you were going out of the way? Why would you wait to get a starting point offer?
Yeah, and to be this far off. I mean, yeah. To have not read the situation where the player is looking at 12 years, 385, and you're offering 10 years, 325. I mean, that's a sizable gap to be that far off on.
And you know what, Gordon, you really had the sense when you're looking back, and there's a couple of articles, and, you know, excuse me, there's a couple of articles and some conversation from, Steve Cohen on Twitter about this whole thing with, you know, well, maybe, well, we'll see. So even it sounds like he's not, you know, that dinner was not a good dinner. I can tell you that.
No.
I don't know who paid.
No.
I don't know where they ate or whatever, but that was not the
dinner. But it was not a lot.
Not a good one. No.
You ever go out on a date, right? Like you go on a, like maybe a blind date back in the day and you think it went fantastic and then you call the girl a couple of days later and she's not picking up her phone or she's not taking your call or a friend says she's out right now, she'll call you back later and that call never comes? That dinner.
Or maybe I get your voice on sports phone back in the day.
right. You call the number. Al's Plumbing. Wait, Al's Plumbing? She works at Al's Plumbing? That's strange.
She didn't mention that.
Yeah, she didn't mention that.
Oh. Come on, Gordon. Just when I was optimistic about, you know, having some possibility. Now, look, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to be honest. I really didn't expect it to come to a deal before the season.
I thought there was going to kind of be a breakthrough moment where it was like, boom, you know what I mean? Like, because I felt like I was talking this up and it was kind of falling on deaf ears that it seems like this is not really going anywhere. It's not getting to where it needs to get to nearly fast enough. But now, if I had the old promo code Gordon to throw down, I would say that this is not getting done, that he will go into the season without a contract.
I would have to agree with you. And see, once again, I really felt that it wasn't going to get done before the season, much like you. But then once I read that they had dinner, I'm like, hey,
right,
okay, this is a
right,
this is what you do.
Of course, right.
Okay.
Of course. There's all this talking, but now the deal's going to get done and everybody's going to be happy and all. I don't think so. I'll
and
tell
even
you
less,
this.
Yeah, go
the
ahead.
The only way this deal gets done is if the Mets cave, because it's pretty clear Lindor's not going to cave.
No. And why should he?
Right.
Why should he? He's giving Gordon, he's told you everything he wanted. He's been, at this point, he's been on the up and up. He's told you everything coming in. This is what I want. This is how I'm going to do it. I'm not going to go back into it after the start of the season. I'm not going to go. And you had to know that the amount you offered was lowball. And once again, I get it. If this was earlier and it's not the last couple of days and you're going through this jockeying of negotiation, I get it. That's how you play. Okay, no problem. But now, you can't do it this way. And I don't know if it was their best and final offer, but I tell you what, it didn't work. So they're going to have to make a decision and go back to the drawing board and say, okay, you know, we reconsidered or whatever it's going to be, or we didn't say it was our best and final. Whatever the way they're going to spin it, they've got to, if they really want to get this done, Gordon, Steve Cohen's going to have to find a couple more bucks in his, in his stash under the mattress at the Cohen household to get this done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really think that I'm expecting a whole lot at this point. We'll see. We got a couple of days to go before then. But it seems like the most important thing to Francisco Lindor is the total dollar. So if it means the Mets, I mean, because look, 10 at 325, unless my math is off, 10 at 325 is more annually than 12 for 385, right? I think so. So then if that's the case, then if the Mets simply come up an extra couple of years and, you know, come down a couple of million bucks a year on the offer, I mean, that's what he's looking for, the total amount of money, because baseball contracts are guaranteed. You know, if this was football, the owner would say, no problem, because by year 12, we'll have cut you long ago. We'll have forgotten about you by then.
You'll be done in year four.
Right, exactly.
I mean, and we'll talk about the Knicks in a minute. I mean, Gordon, yesterday I'm on the air, I'm talking about, oh, this reminds me of what happened with Bernie Williams and the late George Steinbrenner when Bernie was you know, the Red Sox wanted him and he didn't want to leave, and this is what I'm talking about, and this is all shot. It's like one of my brackets. I throw it up and put it in the garbage. Done. It's over.
Yeah, and look, the Mets are a good team. You know, Pecota, the prediction model, Pecota has them winning the National League East this year. Big things are expected, but I have to be honest, you know, I'm not a Met fan, so maybe you'll take this with a grain of salt. When Steve Cohen came on board, I expected the offseason was going to be blockbuster after blockbuster. And to lose out on some of the guys you lost out on free agency, I think all of them except Springer you can kind of explain away. This one, to me, is the hardest one to explain away, that you traded for Lindor knowing you were going to have to really pay him a lot of money, but this was the guy you want. You could make the argument he's the best of the free agent shortstops by far, but it doesn't look like it's going to get done.
No, and I mean, Gordon, you know, no Bauer, which is okay for me. As you mentioned, no Springer. Right. I mean, you know, don't you have some money from what you save for not getting those guys?
I mean, you don't have to spend like a drunken sailor. I know that. But could you spend like a sailor who's had a drink or two? You know what I mean? Not drunken, just, you know, you've had a couple of adult beverages.
I mean, and what does this mean for Conforto? I mean, I know Conforto's not looking for 12 years, 385, but you got to sign him. And oh, by the way, Thor is up at the end of this year, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think you can go to Conforto now and say, you know, we got 10 minutes to go here before we got a couple of minutes. What are you looking for?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Help us out.
I'll say this, though. I mean, like, I think that Lindor clearly can get 10 for 325 after the season is over. That wouldn't really shock me all that much.
I agree.
Is there going to be a team that's going to sign him to a 12-year contract year is over?
I don't see it, Gordon.
I guess it kind of depends on how many fans are going to be back in stands and all that kind of thing, but it's kind of unpredictable. Look, his people, I'm sure, have crunched the numbers to believe that it's there from somewhere, but, boy, that is a lot. That is a big piece of change.
It is indeed. 12 years is a long time. It really is. And I just don't know how you, like, much like you, I don't know how you get it. I don't know how you get it unless you know, maybe next year when you have a full season of fans in the stands, perhaps. But, you know.
Right. It's one thing, you know, the Dodgers doing it with Mookie Betts and his deal, or, you know, the Padres wanted to keep their kid in Tatis there for a very long time. That's understandable. To be, look, I guess Betts went there and they got the deal right away. It is a little, you know, I guess. But it was part of the deal when you got, you know, I kind of go back and forth with it. It was part, if you knew that this was the deal and you made the trade, why would you make the trade and give up prospects to get the guy? And then not, I mean, that trade is really all of a sudden not looking quite as good, right? Like Carrasco's already hurt. He was kind of a big part of it. And now you're not going to sign Lindor to a contract.
Well, hopefully there'll be a big change in 24 hours. Hopefully tomorrow night, Gordon, we'll just talk about, imagine what we said last night. Just forget about it. We've got him. He's business, all business.
I'm waiting for him to join the Brooklyn Nets at the next drop of a hat, you know?
Yeah, might as well. Everybody else is going over there.
Exactly.
Everybody else.
Yep.
And then there was the Knicks. Mm. Oh, Gordon. This team just can't win four in a row. I mean, they just can't win four. Whenever they get to three, they can't win four in a row. They just can't.
Well, I mean, when you have a margin for error that is as slim as the Knicks' margin of error is, the good news is you're not going to lose generally four in a row, but it's hard to win four in a row, especially when they played like they did tonight. And it seemed like the Heat kind of, you know, they were kind of taking names down tonight, right? Like they mentioned it in the post game about how, you know, the Heat looking up at the standings and seeing that the Knicks are sitting where they are and the Heat are where they are and saying, wait a second, we're way better than this team. So, you know, to go out there and for the Heat to score 36 points in the first half, and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, the Knicks, they're going to get a win tonight, and then they score 39 in the third quarter. Things turned quickly, and once they did, the Knicks really just never – I mean, we talk about all the time, right? It's about Randall, it's about Barrett, and it's about Emmanuel Quickly. Those are the guys you kind of count on. Randall wasn't as good tonight. Barrett really took a step back tonight. And Quickly was not all that good either. So when those three things are not clicking all on all cylinders, it's hard for the Knicks to get a win.
And Burks only put up four shots, Gordon, which is crazy because he's been really the hot guy. He's been carrying this team, you know, over the past couple of games. You know, so look, it's one of those nights. They just couldn't buy a basket. I mean, they were awful shooting. I mean, that's 16 points in the first quarter. And, you know, the most they scored in the quarter all night, Gordon, was 27. You can't win games like that. And so, listen, Randall had one of the few off nights that he has. And also, let's be honest, Miami plays great defense, Gordon.
Absolutely.
They
Absolutely.
Really do. Yep. They play great defense. They play physical defense. They mix things up. They show the Knicks some zone. They show, and then they push the zone further out. The Knicks were going from side to side. They couldn't get into the lane. And when they did, you know, guys didn't finish. So it was just one of those games. So if you're the Knicks, listen, you put that behind you and you get ready for a Minnesota team that came in that, listen, they gave the Nets all they could handle late. I mean, I'm thinking the Nets are going to have a party and just blow Minnesota out. I give the Timberwolves credit. They did not go quietly. So the Knicks, look at the film from tonight and know what you're going to have to get, what you're going to run into, you know, Wednesday night in their building.
Yeah, and look, you caught a break that all the guys were out on the Bucks that game, and you were able to squeak out a win there. This one, you know, it's also I know that the Heat are behind the Knicks in the standings. The Heat are just a better team. I mean, I don't want to say it and raise the Knicks fan. I mean, there are more. I mean, Jimmy Butler is fantastic. Adebayo was great tonight. Mm-hmm. Hero was hitting shots. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just a more talented team, I think. And the Knicks did not play up to their standards. I think a lot of that credit goes to the Miami defense. But look, the good news is you don't have to face the Heat again during the regular season.
That's it. You're done with them. And by the way, Gordon, people forget they were in the NBA Finals.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, they're so. Even though they're, you know, they kind of struggled so far this year, and they've struggled, I think, lately too, right? So, you know, they're a better team, and they caught you on a night. It's about moving on to the next one.
1-800-919-3776. We'll get your thoughts on the Mets, get your thoughts on the Knicks, the Nets, whatever you want to talk about at the top of the hour. Survive in advance. We'll tell you where the brackets are going in the specific divisions, in the conferences, in the years of TV themes. Oh, it's interesting. It's interesting. I took a peek, Gordon. I'm interested.
All right. Well, look, we've got some big matchups tonight. And again,
yes, we do.
This will be another example of how the selection committee, despite all the criticism, nailed it.
Yes.
Absolutely nailed it.
Yeah, we did pretty good.
Yep.
I don't like to brag, but we did
pretty good. No, we nailed it. I mean, people can complain all they want, but when we lay it out for you tonight, we'll show you how we got it perfectly. We did a great job.
So, Gordon, what'd you do this week? Before we get to the phones.
What did we do this weekend? We got outside for a little while. It wasn't
good.
Too bad. You know, hosted the show on Saturday, so that took up some time there. But, you know, get a little bit outside. You got to get the kids off the devices. You know, the devices have been a wonderful thing during the wintertime to keep them entertained and to keep us sane, more importantly. But now you got to kind of, you know, break them of those habits that they have. I mean, they're practically one with the devices.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. And, you know, this is spring break. Are your guys out for spring break too?
No, my wife is on spring break this week. My kids are on spring break next week.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't really line up well for me because now
no,
I got her around all during the mornings while I'm trying to do stuff. And then next week I'm going to have the kids and not her. What I need is for her to be with the kids. And then I have, you know, I can escape. I can break free.
I know. Promo code Gordon, that's not going to work out.
No, it is not. I'm not happy about this.
I
think she's in cahoots with somebody figuring it out ahead of time. But I don't know who to call.
School board.
Yeah, I don't know.
Try the school board, Gordon. Drive the school board. 1-800-919-3776. Jan's in Yonkers. Hey, Jan, start us off on ESPN New York tonight.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we got you, friend.
If there's one team that I cannot stand to lose to, it's this Miami Heat team. And it goes all the way back from the 90s, okay?
Yep, got you. Stop listening to the radio. Yeah, stop listening to the radio. Talk to us on the phone.
Okay, I shut it off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, first of all, we could have used Mitchell Robinson in this game, definitely, even though Noah was very, very good. I like him. I like his play. However, our defense against the three-point shooting is terrible, for starters. And coach didn't play Frank Ntilikina or Kevin Knox or that little fellow Pinson. And I'd like your thoughts, please.
Well, I'll tell you why, Jan, and thanks for the phone call, because they can't score. And that's why they don't play. If Knox, especially Knox, Gordon, if Knox could shoot, this would have been the game that he would have played and seen some minutes in. He can't shoot. He hasn't been able to shoot since he's been here. Pinson never plays. And obviously, the situation with Ntilikina, the defense wasn't what hurt them, Gordon. It was the fact they couldn't score.
Yeah, I mean, look, the three-point defense was not good tonight. It has been good this year, though, so that's not really been the issue. But, I mean, it would be look, I don't know what anyone is expecting out of Kevin Knox at this point. You can't just throw him out there in a game and say, you know, let's see what you got when he hasn't played. I mean, I don't know the last time he got any significant minutes. And now that Derrick Rose is back, I think that you're not really going to see Frank Ntilikina all that much either.
No, not at all. And I think he got some – Knox got some minutes against Milwaukee because everybody got minutes against Milwaukee.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, so that was the time. And, you know, and that was, by the way, Milwaukee and even some chances tonight. Gordon, Obi Toppin has played a little
bit. He actually had a couple of decent stretches there in the game tonight. I would agree with you. I meant to mention that earlier. So, you know, hopefully it's starting to, you know, maybe start to click a little bit for them. Because they're going to need people, right?
Oh, please.
I mean, now with Mitchell Robinson out for the rest of the season, they're going to need Obi to step up and provide some production.
Definitely so. Buddha's in the Bronx. Hey, Buddha, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, my people? How you doing tonight?
Hey, Buddha.
Hey, listen, before I get to these New York Wets, you can't get mad at the Knicks. They just played their big brother tonight. You know, the Heat are well coached. They're tough defensively. And they have a little bit more talent in the starting lineup and a deeper bench. That's a bad matchup for the Knicks. They're not gonna out-hawk them or outwork them. And the talent is not equal, so. You know, you can't get mad at that, man. It is what it is, man. You know what I mean? You can't get down there for that kid. But, you know, I know a guy named Buddha, man. He's been calling the station for a few years, you know. And he said he just needed to sign a veteran a veteran coach, you know, with a winning pedigree, who, you know, would have brought some free agents, A-listers here, and also would have challenged, you know, the ownership. You know, this guy Buddha also said early last season, you know, Sam Darnold wasn't the right guy for the job. And this guy Buddha also said that the Jets really have no plan. It was evident when they allowed Sam Darnold to play after that shoulder injury, just to further decrease his value. What are they talking about? We went from 2 weeks ago, you get a first-round pick, to now they're talking about a fourth-round pick. Listen, man, this thing just gets worse and worse as time goes on. You know, it's really putrid, man. You know, Woody Johnson's back now, and they're talking about they're going to keep Sam and draft Wilson?
No, that's not going to happen.
This is where we are?
No, that's not going to happen. Kabuta, that has been one that has been
floated out there over the last couple of days. I will put money on if they do that.
Not happening.
That will be the most boneheaded thing that they could possibly do.
Well, they're good for boneheaded.
Right. No, I know. This would be a new level of boneheaded, even for the Jets.
Don't bet your life on that. I mean, it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable that still the draft is like, what, 30 days or something?
A month away, 31.
They still don't have a plan? Like, they don't know what they're going to do? Whether people are giving them too much credit about that they're hiding, nobody knows what their plan is. You know who doesn't know what their plan is? Them.
Right. So maybe that's why they've hidden it so well from us, because they haven't nailed it down yet.
What do you think Cesar Salas is thinking right now? Nada came in here, you know, and you know he was good over there in San Francisco. They wasn't going to get rid of him or nothing. So, you know, Nada came in here now. Now it's four of us in the room talking. Two of us want one player. The other two of us want somebody else. You know, you guys said you were going to get me some defense. The guy that they signed, everybody's like, yo, this is a good sign. He's had 20 sacks in 4 years. The highest amount of sacks he's had is 5.5. Yip, yip, hooray. Pow. Ooh, I'm excited. I mean, it's just, it's really, you know, what they do to us here, this is New York City. And you know, they look at the fans, like I said before 1,000 times. Listen, Woody Johnson was bad. Chris Johnson should never be allowed to be a part of any football decisions or anything. I don't even want to go to that record again. It's three losses per win since he's been in charge of the team. And it's just like, you know what? They're like, look, we got this network deal. You know, we got this revenue sharing. I don't really have to put out the best product for you. It's next year again. How many years, how many years has it been that the Jets are telling you, we're not really going to do anything this year, but next year? How many years? Just somebody tell me. Am I talking wrong or something?
No, it's been a while, Buddha. Thanks for the phone call. It's been a while. And listen, if you're a Jets fan, there's no question you are frustrated. Gordon, let's throw down some TV themes.
All right. So when we left, we last left on Thursday, Larry, we had the 90s region, which
yes.
We've always said was a two-horse race. Mm-hmm. But again, congratulations to the selection committee, because as things stand now, as they move to their final four in that region, the top four in that region are the 1-4 seeds. Fresh Prince, Friends, Simpsons, Saved by the Bell. So those are the
Chalk.
Four. We nailed it from the start, right? Those mm-hmm. are the four top seeds. They're the four that are remaining. So now we move back to the 2000s and beyond region, which I feel like we haven't been there in a very long time.
Yeah, really.
So as we work our way down to four spots in the third round here, just to remind people, 2000s beyond, it's the 2000s, but also the 60s, the 50s. It's basically everything but the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So let's mm-hmm. start with the number one seed. To remind everybody, the number one seed is... Come on, that's a great theme song, Hawaii 5-0, of course. Now, we mentioned the 90s has been all chalk, right? I feel like the 2000s and beyond at this stage,
mm-hmm.
this is the stage where we could see some major upsets.
Yes.
Because while I think, for me, clearly, Hawaii 5-0 should be untouchable in this round, I'm a little worried because they're going up against the number 8 seed. The number 8 seed is... The Office.
Ooh.
Now, The Office, the more current show, obviously. So this is going to tell us, can the shows from the 50s and 60s compete against the more modern shows? A little worried about that one there. So we'll see how it breaks down on tomorrow's show.
Mm-hmm.
The number 2 seed in the 2000s and beyond, another blast from the past. It is... That's just anxiety-inducing, right? It just tells you you're going to be on the edge of your seat the whole show. Mission mm-hmm. Impossible, of course, the number 2 seed. And they will be going up against... The number 7.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip. That's starting from this probably
silent aboard this. Who hasn't been home on a school day?
Sailing man.
Yep. Sitting around
Skipper
watching
Brave
Gilligan Island reruns.
Five passengers.
Can't do much worse. You can't do much better than that.
That's right.
You learn more
right.
on that Gilligan's Island reruns than you would at school.
All right, yeah, it tells you everything.
Seven. That's the 2-7 matchup, Larry. The number 3-11. The next matchup is the number 3 seed, one of the big HBO shows. It is... Obviously, The Sopranos.
Yes.
Very hard to knock off The Sopranos, which...
Could be dangerous if you try.
Yeah, it's a lot of people got knocked off on that show.
I know.
So that's one of the big HBO shows in that matchup, and it'll be going up against another one of the big HBO shows, one theme song that is instantly recognizable because the number 11 seed, after beating Bonanza last time, now just spanking them.
Shocking.
The number 11 seed is... Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Which, Gordon, sounds like it could be a 60s theme.
It could, yes. It's very, it's kind of, right, it's kind of timeless.
Yeah.
This four, definitely...
You know what? This 4-5 matchup is real interesting for me.
Yeah, this is, I mean, you talk about styles make fights, Larry. Here you go. You ready for it?
Yeah.
The 4 seed is... Game of Thrones. Oh, my goodness. Thank God the theme song was better than the ending of the show. That was a disaster. Oh, my God. Every time I see it on again, I'm like, guys, it's not going to work. Nobody wants to see it. And
Thanks
Game of Thrones... We'll be going up against the number 5 seed, which is...
The Flintstones, meet the Flintstones, they're the modern Stone Age family.
I don't have to tell you who it is, they're telling you who it is, it's the Flintstones.
Yeah.
So there you go, voting is now open on Twitter, at Gordon Damer. The station account is retweeted, Brian McGee, the good vibes, Brian McGee has retweeted, Larry will retweet, everybody retweets,
yep.
And you will vote. Make sure you vote, because if you don't vote, you don't get to complain.
Now, Gordon, the other thing that's interesting to me about this bracket is mm-hmm. the Mission Impossible against Gilligan's Island, and even though people may not have seen the series, mm-hmm. the movies, the theme in the movie
absolutely.
Is pretty similar.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's real close.
There are tons of things that I feel like translate throughout the ages that sometimes mm-hmm. don't.
Yes.
I would be hard-pressed, like anybody who's listening to us right now at this time of night, right, they're probably not going to be 13, 14, 15. They're probably in their late teens at the youngest, and then 20s, 30s. Everybody in that age range should know the Mission Impossible theme.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you don't, that's on you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's true. It's a great
Iconic.
Theme, man.
Oh,
it is
a great theme.
It's fabulous. It is fabulous. Once again, make sure you vote at Hardesty ESPN, at Gordon Damer, at ESPN NY98_7FM. I am retweeting as we speak. And Gordon, tomorrow night we go to what region to see get our update?
We will be back to the 70s. Ooh. And we'll have the final 4 shows from the 1970s tomorrow night for 2 spots. To finalize what will be going on in the regional final in the 1970s. And 4 great shows remain there. So, look, somebody's going to be upset at the end of the day because we don't have anything but great shows left. Now, there's a couple of clunkers, but those are mostly, you know, in the 90s, there's a couple. I feel like there's 1 or 2 there. There's probably a little bit of clunkers. But the 70s, that is just that's just straight old-fashioned great TV.
Jam-packed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, Gordon, we've gotten a couple of suggestions. Mm-hmm. I guess people are suggesting for next year.
Uh-huh.
Strong, lot of. Can we do a cartoon theme?
Well, look, I mean, we're always looking for new ideas for tournaments, for contests of some sort to kind of, you know, it's going to break up the sports conversation that with the common themes that we all. There are 1,000, you know, I think it might have been Buddha that brought that up about, you know, you could just do all cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
When you go down the cartoon wormhole, there are, McGilla Gorilla. You know, all the different ones. We had Scooby-Doo. I have a whole list of them someplace, trying to just kind of whittle them down.
I know.
It was very, very difficult.
I know. Look how much fighting we did for this.
Exactly. Right.
I can't imagine what it would be like. I can't imagine. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go back to the phones. Ron's in Baltimore. Hey, Ron, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, Larry, how are you doing?
Doing good, Ron. What's happening?
Tough loss for the Knicks, and I haven't talked to them, but I'm very happy with the season so far. What were your thoughts on tonight?
Well, Ron, it was, as Gordon and I mentioned, it was one of those games where, listen, it's twofold, right? As an analyst, if you're being, you know, totally, you know, neutral about it, it's the better team beat you, okay?
Yeah.
The better team beat you offensively, and they're a great defensive team like you are. So it's really a tough matchup for you. The frustrating thing as a Knicks fan, Ron, is it's Miami. Okay,
yeah,
it's Miami. And you know, the older Knicks fans, are they hate Boston. Boston, it's Miami now. It's been Miami since the 90s, Gordon. It's Miami. So
yeah.
We understand that they're better. We understand, but you know, we still want to beat them. We still want to beat them.
Yeah, I just can't really blame one guy. I just thought everyone played badly, except Noel and a little bit Derrick Rose. I bet he was okay. But, I mean, I just – Randall, I also 12 for 20 from the free throw line's not going to cut it. RJ had a bad game. I thought Bullock and Elford absolutely were bad in the third quarter. Quickly needs to get back on defense, though. I know he got a foul. He wanted a foul, and it probably was a foul, but just get back, young fella. Don't worry about it. You're not going to get the respect from the officials every time. You'd like to get the respect, but you're not. No, I agree with you, Larry. In the big picture, we have to give this team the benefit of the doubt, because every time they've lost a game, they've come back the next night and found a way to win. So I'm not panicking. But I just, if we have to play this team in the playoffs, I wanted to at least beat them once before we play them. But I don't know. But it's good. Larry, nobody would have predicted we would be in this spot. So
no.
The fact that I'm having a positive conversation with you on the Knicks is a good thing. And it's March 29th.
Ron, enjoy it, my friend. Enjoy it. Thanks for the phone call. Enjoy how they've played. You didn't expect it, like you said. Enjoy it. It's one hiccup. Okay, let's see how they respond. And, you know, they've got a winnable game against a Minnesota team whom they should beat, who's not going to just lay down and die for them, Gordon. And so we'll see how they respond on this situation.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the Knicks is that, you know, I think you kind of know where the ceiling is in terms of, you know, individual matchups, but they have a pretty solid floor in terms of things don't – there's never going to be a game this year, I don't think, barring injury, where you say, oh, my goodness, this is going to start the spiral out of control. It always seems like when you maybe, you know, they have a game like tonight, or they have a game where they don't really match up to where they usually are, where it's nip and tuck right to the end, they usually bounce back pretty strong. So let's see if that can be the case.
Omar's in Brooklyn. Hey, O, you're next on 98.7.
Hi, good evening. How are you guys? All right.
Here
it is. All the Knicks fans that wanted no trade, nothing happened in the buyout market. They want no Drummond. They don't want no Fournier. I have news for you. You guys wanted to Knicks to be in a play-in tournament. They are four-seeded. They're going to be in play-in tournament. That's what they decided their fate in. So they are not going to be four-seeded. They're not going to be five-seeded. They're not going to be six-seeded. They will be playing in the play-in tournament, because you guys wanted them to be, and have your two first-round picks, and let me see what you are going to do in the coming season, in the next year. Oh, you have two picks and four picks. Let me see what you guys do. You have a player. Portland Trail Blazers gave their a better player than a first-round pick in 2024 to get better. Boston Celtics gave the two first and second round picks to get better. Chicago Bulls gave their players and a first round pick to get better. Why the Knicks cannot have the second round pick can be bought out? Don't you know that the zone Fournier can help with the zone? Bottom line, he can shoot, and the Knicks can't shoot. That's their problem, and he can't help. Sorry, Knicks. Knicks chose their fate to be eight seeded and go out of the playing tournament. Don't tell me and don't cry, oh, they didn't do that. And let me I have a news for you. Minnesota is going to beat New York Knicks. I saw Minnesota game tonight.
People,
they're going to beat
FanDuel.
New York Knicks.
Omar is making predictions. Get on FanDuel right now.
They're going
now.
To be seventh or eighth
move.
A playing tournament, and they lose in the playing tournament. That's what I had to say today. That's it.
All right. I'm signing on to FanDuel right now, Larry. You heard him say that the Knicks are going to lose to Minnesota. I am getting on right now. I'm putting my money down because Omar predictions, we know how those go.
Promo code Gordon.
Gordon. And look, the promo code needs some reinforcements. I've said this before. It's not always been pretty. We've kind of bounced back a little bit here lately, thanks to Baylor over the weekend, who pulled things out against Villanova.
That's right.
But, I'm going to have to make sure I get a couple of dollars down on that one.
And by the way, since when did the Knicks listen to the fans?
Right.
Almost like you wanted that. You didn't want them to make a move. They didn't make a move. So they don't listen to us.
Right. We could have avoided. So you know how much pain and misery the last 20 years we could have avoided if they would have listened to us?
Please. A lot. Believe me, a lot. But I love the passion from Omar. I love it. I love it. I understand this frustration.
Right.
But they didn't get the deal. Look, there were guys that were out there. What is Aaron Gordon going to do for the Knicks? He's not what you need. Now, if you're telling me maybe Fournier, maybe a couple of the guys that were shooters,
right.
Obviously, they couldn't make the deal.
Right. Once you saw what it actually cost to get a player like that, there's a little bit of hindsight that makes you think, maybe we should have pushed a little bit harder to get a deal. I am going to have a little faith in the people running the show that they actually have inside information about what will take place this offseason. I know that that could come back and bite me. I understand that. But given the professions of the people within the Knicks front office prior to coming here, I get the feeling that they know certain things about the offseason. And I'll be honest, I do want to see just how good this team can be together. Now, the Mitchell Robinson thing, if I had known about that at the time, maybe I might have felt differently about maybe adding another big or adding another piece. But, hindsight's 20/20.
That's right.
Well, look, in terms of the TV theme throwdown, there are some upsets brewing already,
what?
Larry. It's very early on, but the trends from the analytics desk have told me that there are some TV themes that are in trouble. And it's mostly one that was filmed in Hawaii. That one is
what?
Major trouble right now.
That's a shocker.
It's inexcusable is what it really is. Can we just go? I know, guys, you might have to, change pages. Just listen to these two theme songs, right? Play the first one. Do you have it handy? Give it to me.
They're scurrying.
They weren't expecting this.
There we go.
Listen to this. Come on. That just sounds like Hawaii. That sounds like people surfing.
Yep.
It sounds like action. That gets
horns?
You off your chair. So that's your one option, right? You've got one option there.
Yes.
The other option is this. Oh, come on. I mean, it's not even close. Come on. What does that tell you? What does that theme tell you? Does that tell you it's a comedy? I guess. It's not an action show, right? It doesn't tell you it's a detective show.
This is inexcusable, Gordon. This is inexcusable.
Inexcusable. What you're doing, even though it's anonymous, there's karma in the world you're putting out into the universe. You have terrible taste. Terrible. Inexcusable. I was worried about that.
I'm speechless.
Speechless.
I'm speechless. I don't know.
Those people should be voteless. That's what they should be. We all want to increase voting everywhere. No, this is an example of that voting should be cut off to some people. It's awful. The office.
Brutal.
Office over Hawaii 5-0 people.
I mean, with real horns. No keyboard electronic music, real horns.
Oh, my goodness. Come on.
Oh, God.
You don't find yourself humming that when it gets in your ear.
Definitely. It's action. It's
Ryan,
TV action.
It's everything. It gives you everything you need right there.
Plus,
I blame Jake's fans for this one.
Because
Jake loves The Office, so does Mike. So maybe he's grabbing all these voters.
Oh, it's awful. It's just terrible. Has he retweeted it? I don't think he even retweeted it yet. When he retweets it, all those goons are going to be voting even more. I mean, I love Jake. Jake hasn't even retweeted it yet. He's busy doing something else right now.
Well,
look, there's 22 hours left. You have time to change history.
Oh.
We could just get to Durant with all his burner accounts. Then we would be able to, all just in one swing, we'd be able to do that.
Really? And he should be able to use them because he's not playing.
Right. He's got nothing else to do.
Exactly. So, give me a break here. I can't believe that. Gene to Rockland. Hey, Gene, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking me. The Hawaii 5-0, I've got the thing on the CD. It's outrageous. I played in my car. I just want to get on to the Fournier thing. I mean, I didn't understand that. He was cheap to come by, and he was like a good shooter. They kind of needed the shooter. So how do you figure the Knicks didn't even aggressively go for the guy? That was kind of, frustrating.
Well, Gene, I don't know how aggressive or non-aggressive they were. I'm sure he was mentioned to the Knicks, Gordon, throughout. Yep, I mean, yep. His name was synonymous with the Knicks for a while. I guess the deal fell through. And then, and thanks for the phone call, Gene. And then we find, I think, Gordon, I saw that he is not able to join the team yet because I think he's under protocol or he's getting checked. So I don't even know if he's available, but you know, I thought he was going to be a guy. And listen, he shot some threes against the Knicks that made me – they saw up close what he would be able to do. And, Gordon, that's the type of player, if you were going to make a deal and it's not going to affect it, right. I don't know what Orlando asked for, but that would be the kind of guy that you would want. But clearly Orlando wants draft choices. That's why they cleared – you know, they really cleaned house pretty much because they're going in the rebuild situation. So they probably wanted ones. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I don't know what they wanted. They got him for a couple of look, there was clearly a consensus in the Knicks front office that they were not going to use any of their resources whatsoever at the trade deadline this year, even though things look close. And just to let you know, yeah, Evan Fournier did play tonight. He was 0 for 10.
Okay. Wow.
So I don't know if that would translate to the Knicks. That would have made it just worse. But no, I mean, he brings up a good point. Evan Fournier is like the kind of piece that you would think, yeah, a couple of second-round picks, a guy who can shoot, steps right mm-hmm. in right away. He's not going to cost you an arm and a leg in terms of a contract. The Knicks clearly made a decision where they did not want to – they feel, I think, that the landscape of the offseason will be the time where they will make their move. But, yeah, it is a strange thing. When that was one of those ones that when you saw what it actually cost to get him, you think, wow, that's kind of surprising.
And I do understand there's a certain, well, we don't want to break up this chemistry. You know what I'm saying, Gordon? We don't want to mm-hmm. break up. We like what's going on. We don't want to try to find way where we have to fit players in and take players off. I get that to a point, but I do think that if, and this is what we said, Gordon, and so this must have been what happened. If the deal is right, then make the deal. If it's not right, then let's ride with what they have. And let's see how far you go, because once again, and I've been quoting you, Gordon. I've been giving you your props. I've been quoting you. This is not the end of the rebuild. This is the beginning.
Right. Yeah. And look, I will say this in the Knicks' defense, and again, I do think that when you look at what it cost to get Fournier, that probably would have been I had been presented that ahead of time, I think a lot of Knicks fans would have hit the yes button. Mm-hmm. But you have to kind of trust this front office kind of has a better read of the landscape, that they know what's going to be available in the offseason. I know you don't want to think about that. The offseason, you're worried about the playoffs now. The Knicks are going to be at least in part of the play-in game. And look, for Omar and for the fans who say, well, you know, if they lose in the play-in game, if they get knocked out there, if they can't beat, I think it's the Bulls, and who's the other team that it looks like will be lining. If you can't win, you know, if they finish 7 or 8, they have to win once and lose twice, right? If they mm-hmm. win once, then they move on to the actual playoffs. They'd have to lose twice not to be there. If mm-hmm. they can't beat the Bulls or whatever the other team is to get into the actual, you know, playoff series, well, mm-hmm. then, you know, they're just not – Pacers are the other team. The Pacers are 3 games under right now. The Bulls are 6 games under. Hmm. The Knicks are obviously 1 game over.
Right. Listen, you would think that in a 1-game scenario, you would go with the Knicks defense, Gordon, mm-hmm. and being able to find that Julius Randle and, you know, your guys would be able to get enough offense and with tough defense that you would at least be able to move on and get into the playoffs. If you're in the play-in game, you would think that. But listen, once again, it's easy to say they should have done something. Mm-hmm. I always say sometimes the best moves are the ones you don't make.
Right, because once you trade away those second-round picks, you don't have them anymore. Now, they would help you in the right now. I think Evan Fournier, despite the 0 for 10, mm-hmm. you know, over the course of the rest of this regular season would help you. It'd give you another reliable shooter that you could count on. But I don't think the Knicks are just trying to maximize this year. They're kind of looking at this as being step one.
Yep, absolutely.
This is ESPN New York Tonight.